Hi, my name's Kingsley Guy, number one best-selling author. Just finished the book, Piercing the Veil, A Skeptical Journalist Discovers Unseen Worlds. I talk about it on the Dr. Sky Show, and very happy to do so. It was an excellent interview, and Dr. Sky is an excellent interviewer. And you're listening to the Dr. Sky Show.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the exciting show that you tell us you like so much. Well over one decade Blair radio show entitled The Dr. Sky Show. Always with great guests from the realms of astronomy, space, aviation and weather, health and nutrition, celebrity guests, and so many wonderful things to talk about. Today, ladies and gentlemen, a very special guest as always. But first, I'd be remiss if I didn't thank our producer extraordinaire, Richard Dugan of radio station KZSB, that's AM 1290. In the beautiful city of Santa Barbara, California, he and I have been longtime friends, and Richard, of course, does an excellent job in the production area. And by the way, he does his own radio shows that are par excellent. Today, ladies and gentlemen, a very special guest as we share knowledge and, well, as I say simply in the Dr. Sky role, as we wonder what happens after we pass from this world. I like to say on my many radio shows that we pass on to the infinite, but our very special guest, in just a moment, is going to be talking about that. His name is Kingsley Guy, and a brief bio is, of course, in order. Amazon number one best-selling author Kingsley Guy was employed by the South Florida Sun Sentinel newspaper for 30 years, including 23 as editorial page editor. His career included assignments in the Middle East, India, Russia, and China. He conversed with hundreds of prominent newsmakers, including John McCain, Hillary Clinton, John Glenn, Mikhail Gorbachev, Madeleine Albright, and Edgar Mitchell, the sixth man to walk on the moon. He's been a frequent guest on radio and television. Mr. Guy's life purpose is to reveal another reality through storytelling. His seminal work, consciousness-changing spiritual memoir entitled Piercing the Veil, A Skeptical Journalist Discovers Unseen Worlds, was launched on August 6, 2019, and became an Amazon number one bestseller. His memoir was preceded by his critically acclaimed spiritual historical novel, Queen of the Heavens, where he writes about a young girl in ancient Egypt with a miraculous healing power who rises from the commoner to queen. Mr. Guy lives in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where he's working on a second novel, also set in ancient Egypt. With that, it's a privilege and honor to welcome Kingsley Guy to the Dr. Sky Show. And thank you, sir, for spending time with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me. Looking forward to our conversation.
I know this seemed to come about last minute, but what really kind of just, you know, pulled me into you, sir, is the whole conversation that we're going to have, of course, about the books that you write and the spirituality that you speak so well about, is both of our connections to the sixth man on the moon, Dr. Edgar Mitchell. I want to hear your stories, but briefly for this audience, as we talk so many times, he was a very special astronaut to me. I spent so much and continue to spend so much of my time talking about the great legacy of the Apollo space program and the remaining four astronauts. Kingsley, tell us a bit more about, first of all, your connection with Dr. Edgar Mitchell.
Well, Dr. Mitchell lived in South Florida. He and I had a mutual friend, and our friend introduced me to him. He would come out with a book, The Way of the Explorer, and my friend had met him on the 20th anniversary of the moon landing. And Dr. Mitchell and I had a similar experience. In the Sanskrit, it's called the experience of samadhi. He experienced this on the way back from the moon, and he was looking out at the stars, and the craft was rotating, and he saw the moon and the earth, and he entered the state of samadhi, which he described as it means you see things with your senses the way they are, but you experience them viscerally and internally as a unity and a oneness accompanied by ecstasy. And that's his description of it. And I experienced a similar thing after I came back from an ashram in New York after 2 weeks of going through various ceremonies and such with Brahmin priests from India. And we had this in common, this experience. And his experience launched him on his post-NASA career of investigating the scientific foundation of the spiritual experiences. My experience completely altered my concepts of life and existence and, yeah. and what it's all about, and life, death, is just a life-changing experience. But we both had this experience, and I wanted to talk to him about it. So my friend arranged an interview with me. I spent 4 hours with him that time, and had subsequent lengthy talks as well. And I did an article for my newspaper. But it was one of the four most fascinating hours of any interview I ever did with any newsmaker. He was a special
totally
man.
Agree. Right,
me,
totally agree. Just a dynamic personality, and especially since we're only, you know, as far as historical records go, we both know that only 12 humans ever went to the surface of the moon. And I'm sure we're both believers, Mr. Guy, that they did go to the moon, because I talked to
a
lot of people on my shows, and various friends, I'm sure you run into them also, that have great skepticism. But there's a reason why I joined and talk about the word skepticism. As a professional journalist, I want you to talk about for a few moments your experiences with the Sun Sentinel newspaper and all these great people that you've had the privilege and honor of interviewing. And then the word skeptical itself pops up again when we speak with Kingsley Guy. The book, Piercing the Veil, A Skeptical Journalist Discovers Unseen Worlds. So without putting words in your mouth, the whole purpose of true journalism is what? To investigate and seek the truth. As we hear today, so many allegations of fake news are popping up all over the place. We don't always believe everything on the internet. But talk to us first about your career at Sun Sentinel and the description of these people that you've had the privilege and honor to meet and interview.
Yeah, well, I spent 30 years with the Sun Sentinel. And the reason I wrote this book, it was about 32 years ago, I discovered I was alcoholic, and I'm very upfront in this book about that. The way people, many people deal with alcoholism is to to start on a spiritual journey, and I've been sober for 32 years now. I started on that journey not knowing what to expect, but it was a life or death situation, and this took me to amazing places, amazing states of consciousness, allowed me to witness things that defy the known laws of physics, and got me into writing a spiritually based historical novel. Got me over to Egypt a couple times, where that's where this novel is based. And I started giving talks about this book, talks on this novel, and people, rather than talk about Egypt, I started talking about some of the spiritual experiences I had that caused me to write that novel, and people were so intrigued by them, I said, hey, why not write a book about this? And that's how Piercing the Veil, A Skeptical Journalist Discovers Unseen Worlds, came into being. Take so much with a degree of skepticism and challenge assertions, challenge questions, what people say. You mentioned about the moon. Obviously, we got there. When I met Dr. Mitchell for the first time, he hands me something that looked like a joystick to computer game.
Yes, he showed me that, too.
It was a stick to the lunar lander. He and Alan Shepard had cannibalized it before sending it crashing back to the moon, and he took that as one of his souvenirs. So Dr. Mitchell was on the moon. Let's put it that way. I'm not
that's
skeptical
awesome.
About that.
Yes, Kingsley, that's awesome, because in his private study or wherever it was, a back bedroom in that beautiful home of his, you're right, he shows me this joystick, and I didn't think it came from the local Goodwill. He actually let me hold it, and I'm sure you got to hold it. And I'm saying,
did he show you his drawer full of bent spoons?
That I never got to see. So
never got
during this.
He did experiments, and of course, Dr. Mitchell founded the Institute of Noetic Sciences in California. But he was doing some studies with Uri Geller, who a lot of people are skeptical about Uri Geller's capacities, but he was famous years ago for psychokinesis and his seeming ability to bend spoons. And Dr. Mitchell knew him very well and did experiments with him, convinced of his authenticity, and Dr. Mitchell showed me a drawer full of bent spoons, and they weren't bent by Geller, though. They were bent by children who had seen Uri Geller on television, and he kept getting calls from all over the country that children around were bending spoons, and he went all over the country collecting these spoons and witnessing this phenomenon and concluding that psychokinesis may be a latent quality in all of us, just that the children hadn't been taught that bending spoons through psychokinesis is impossible. So there were probably a dozen spoons in this drawer, all twisted and bent. And
well, you got a better tour then of the Mitchell household than I did, but going on measure here, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just joining us on the Dr. Sky Show, it's a privilege and honor to speak with all the many great guests that we've had over this decade, and Richard Dugan, of course, of radio station KZSB AM 1290, has been the producer for a good portion of this, and we thank him for his time, too. But let's go back now to the Kingsley Guy journalism side. I want to hear quick stories about, you've had the opportunity, as you describe here, to be in front of people like John Glenn and Mikhail Gorbachev. Let's talk about Mikhail Gorbachev. I mean, that's an amazing man, an amazing part of history. Tell us more, Mr. Guy, about
that. Yeah, this was over in Moscow at the Gorbachev Institute. I think, let's see, it would be 1999. And there were a few of us, just a handful of journalists. We got an audience that we thought would last for maybe 15 minutes. And President Gorbachev gave us an hour and a half. It was a fascinating hour and a half. And something special about that man. I think Margaret Thatcher, when she talked to Ronald Reagan, said, "Hey, this is a man we could deal with." And you're in his presence, and I've met a lot of politicians, and frankly, I've never met anyone as impressive as Mikhail Gorbachev. It's one of those things where you look at that time in history where people came together, Margaret Thatcher, Pope John Paul II, Ronald Reagan, Mikhail Gorbachev, Lech Walesa, to actually change the world. And it just sort of fascinating that all these personalities could come together and affect something as significant as that. But he was an amazing man, is an amazing man, still alive. Yeah. I was over there when we were bombing Yugoslavia, bombing Belgrade, bombing the Serbs. And the Russians weren't very happy about that. And he had his observations on us doing that, and wasn't very pleased with America's behavior there. I recall him saying, "Okay, you expand NATO to Russia's doorstep, and then you start dropping bombs. It's because you want to show us who's boss." And he was very very critical of our expansion into Eastern Europe with the NATO alliance. But
fascinating, very interesting, man. Because I would imagine, just a quick comment, and then I'd like to get back, of course, to the main purpose of having you today to talk about piercing the veil, a skeptical journalist discovers unseen worlds. I wonder, in your opinion, with Vladimir Putin now in charge, would you feel we would have a better chance at longevity and peace if Gorbachev was still in power? Just your thoughts.
Oh, absolutely. But Gorbachev has a lot of support in the West. He's not very well liked over in Russia. Some of his thoughts are not that different from Putin. I mean, he was critical of the dissolution of the Soviet Union, which it hadn't. Didn't think it had to have been dissolved. Very critical of our expansion of NATO into Eastern Europe. So his thoughts are not all that different in many respects than Putin's, but I think when it comes to being a better human being, let's put it that way, a man, a more reasonable individual, I certainly would place him right up there among, the great leaders of the 20th century.
Right, and my closing comment, since we don't get into the political stuff on this radio show, well, I would say this, that if we look at a former KGB lieutenant colonel, that's quite diametrically opposed to somebody who is more of a pacifist, and I'll leave it at that. That's a simple oil and vinegar conversation. But folks, Kingsley Guy continues to join us here. Primary reason we have him here, and again, I want to thank you, sir, for your time at such short notice today. We're talking about Piercing the Veil, a skeptical journalist discovers unseen worlds. An Amazon number one bestseller came out here just recently, this month, actually, August 6th of 2019. And I want to make this comment. As an astronomer and one who studies astrophysics for years, we know, and I know you know this well, the audience may not, we only see 4% of the visible universe. And just the other night, Mr. Guy, I had a whole bunch of people in Sedona, where we do the Dr. Sky program, staring out into into space and showing them things. But I want you to comment on this, because I've never had anybody really explain to me in some detail some quantitative way. What really is consciousness? What do you think lies beyond this world when we pass from the material body? And what are the things that we should look at on the bright side? Because there's so many negative things going on in the world today. Please continue, and I'm sure that's part of piercing the veil.
Yeah. Let me quote Nikola Tesla. He said, the day science begins to study non-physical phenomena, it will make more progress in one decade than in all the previous centuries of existence. And to a degree, that's what piercing the veil is about. I'm coming at this from the perspective of a journalist. And I say up front, I'm not a guru, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a religious person.
Sure.
I'm a journalist reporting on inexplicable events in my life, at least that can't be explained through what we know today. And it's a reporting job of some amazing things, including manifestations of things seemingly out of nowhere, which Edgar Mitchell experienced as well. And synchronicities that I think that was a term coined by Carl Jung, the psychiatrist, synchronicities that caused my life to take twists and turns that got me to where I am today, various things that and states of consciousness as well, the state of the samadhi that I explained earlier, that just defy what we might call normality, or what the normal universe, the material world that we're able to see. That there are many things going on that we cannot see doesn't mean that they don't behave according to the laws of physics. They're just we don't know about the laws of physics. You take a look at some of the theories out there today, string theory, which posits numerous dimensions, multiverses and such things, the whole concept of dark matter. I mean, what is happening that we are unable to see with the naked eye? The perception, let's say, of animals, of a dog. The dog will look at existence quite different than the human will look at existence. Its senses are different, its sense of smell, its sense of hearing. Its universe is going to look quite different than our universe, and what are our senses not capable of experiencing? Some people, I think Aldous Huxley talked about the mind as being not the creative mechanism, but a filtering mechanism that enables us to exist in physical bodies. There's just so much going on around us that if we were experiencing all these sensations, we wouldn't be able to function as normal human beings. So these experiences I describe in the book, including manifestations, material manifestations, synchronicities, seances in which seemingly the law of gravity is defied, all of these things are real. These are things Dr. Mitchell studied as well and concluded they're real. There are things that 19th century scientists, including Alfred Russel Wallace, whose name is on Origin of Species, along with Darwin, concluded were real. William Crookes, who invented the vacuum tube and discovered thallium on the periodic table, investigated these things and concluded they were real. So there's a lot of data out there that I think a lot of scientists today have just refused to look at or accept.
Well, you're an interesting man in many ways, and I say that obviously here. We don't like to just have people come on promoting books, and in this case, this is well worth the time and the attention of the audience. That's why we're selecting, and we are very selective on who we ask to join us. And again, many thanks to our very special guest, Kingsley Guy, who's here talking about a book, ladies and gentlemen, that everybody within the sound of the show should go out and take a look at on Amazon, Piercing the Veil, A Skeptical Journalist Discovers Unseen Worlds. Not to take away from your interview, Kingsley, but a number of months ago, we had a fascinating guy from MIT. His name is Rizwan Virk. He's obviously involved as a billionaire, I understand, in the creation of these video games, and he wrote a book called The Simulation Hypothesis. And his general thesis in the book, and it's a good book also, a great book, is that he believes, like many, like the movie The Matrix, that we are in some sort of a programmable reality, an artificial reality, I should say, in which something or someone or some entity is behind the curtain. And I wonder how you would respond to something like that, that we may live in a computer simulated world. Is that even possible in your realm of thought?
Well, I'm a skeptic and still am a skeptic, and I think I would be a little skeptical of that. You know, we speak, I think, in the Western world about an intelligence in the universe. But what if we took the preposition and the article out of that and we started speaking about an intelligent universe of which we are a part? I mentioned earlier that I had a background in Eastern metaphysics, lived and studied in the Far East when I was young.
Yes, sir.
And some of the concepts coming out of there, I find very acceptable to science today, very acceptable to my concepts of what's going on, a thinking universe about which we are a part. You look back into Hindu metaphysics or yogic metaphysics, the Big Bang. Well, the yogis 5,000 years ago knew of the Big Bang. The concept is that the universe started from a singular point and expanded into what it is right now, and the universe is in itself conscious. And we are part of that consciousness. It's a cosmology and that I can accept, that I feel explains a lot, including these many synchronicities that take place in a person's life. Is there the wizard behind the curtain? I certainly don't rule out anything. But I think there might be other explanations as well as to why the world functions as it functions.
Well, Kingsley, I'm saying this tongue-in-cheek, but I'm also trying to be serious. When that day comes, and if there is a man or woman behind the curtain, I hope that you're sitting there with your yellow legal pad taking very, very copious notes on this subject, because I think it would be an amazing thing not only to add to your journalistic resume, but certainly a man of your experience, it would certainly come out to be true journalism, and not why many people see today as bits and pieces of what the traditional journalist and the role of journalism would be today. I would imagine I would enjoy reading that. I wanted to get your quick take on this. We've got only about 10 minutes left in this particular time segment, and again, appreciate your time. I wanted you to give us your definition of what you believe consciousness is, and then on the second part of that, I always try to cram in a second question for an answer. Dr. Mitchell talked about the quantum hologram, the Noetic Institute. I wonder if you'd start off with what you believe the definition of consciousness is and then take the second part of that.
Yeah, and I go back into Eastern metaphysics, and Dr. Mitchell also talked about the way that we look at existence, going back to Newton and classical physics, and also René Descartes, whose concept of dualism, that we took spirituality on one side and we took the material world on the other side and separated the two. And this enabled us to stop burning heretics at the stake, scientists at the stake, and declaring them heretics. But he believed that a new paradigm had to be established that merged our understanding of the sciences and with the wisdom of the ages. And I think he's absolutely right in that when we're talking about consciousness, and some quantum physicists talking about consciousness being ubiquitous. Dr. Mitchell often ended his speeches with the quote, God sleeps in the minerals, awakens in the plants, walks in the animals, and thinks in man. And I guess when I think of consciousness and think of God, I think of, as I said, not a intelligence in the universe, but an intelligent universe, a conscious universe, a play of consciousness. Some of the Eastern thinking, Shaivism, which Lord Shiva is the primary deity, conceives all existence as being a play of this universal consciousness. I'm able to accept that in so many levels. So I guess my worldview, and based on some of my experience, my states of consciousness that I've entered, have caused me to think of that. You speak about our consciousness just transitioning from our material bodies into another state of existence. Some scientists are even looking into that. Rupert Sheldrake over in England, I think Oxford, I believe, posits the possibility of a continuing consciousness after death.
That's fascinating.
You know, science is looking into a lot of these things now, finally, and wasn't when Dr. Mitchell started doing it, started looking into it in the early 70s, but more and more scientists, I think, are realizing that there's a quantum physics and the study of consciousness is changing our whole paradigm and how we look at existence.
Sure is, because there's got to be, in my opinion, and again, everybody's entitled to theirs, if you look from the astronomical world, Kingsley, if you look at this, and you see, let's say, theoretically, 100 billion stars just in the Milky Way and many replicate stars that are the same temperature, my point driving it, of course, quickly is, how could there not be some sort of life, hopefully intelligent and hopefully more responsible than a planet that has to continually go to war and so-called never learn from the histories, you know, the mistakes of history? So I imagine out there, I always like to keep on a positive side, that maybe there are other spiritual beings out there. But for now, here on this particular planet, I think even in Dr. Mitchell's time, wouldn't you say that he was kind of shunned in many ways from the astronaut corps? Not that he couldn't go to the moon, but when he talked about this stuff, he was really unique from so many of the astronauts that I'm sure we've both met.
Absolutely. And, you know, you even look at some of the movies that have come out, like Apollo 13, wonderful movie. Mm-hmm. And but the person who worked the problem in the lunar lander was Edgar Mitchell. But he is not, when they were trying to figure out how to use the lander as a lifeboat to get them back, he was the backup lunar module pilot, and he was the person in the simulator who worked the problem there. But in Apollo 13, it's all Don Mattingly is the only person who is focused on in that. Now, Edgar Mitchell is completely left out. Now, his daughter, who I've talked to about this, was a little peeved at that, but she said he never bothered him, never bothered Edgar. He had other things to concern himself with. But absolutely, that he was, to a degree, I think, I won't say ostracized, but you know, he went off the reservation. And
that's a good way to say it. Kingsley, we have a few more minutes. I wanted to give the audience an opportunity to hear from you, the author. What do you want to see people get from Piercing the Veil, A Skeptical Journalist Discovers Unseen World?
Well, I want, well, like I said, I described some amazing events that have taken place in my life, some of which defy the known laws of physics. I would like people to start talking about the events in their lives that have affected them. Sometimes these events might cause people to question their sanity, or they might be reluctant to speak about them for fear of criticism or ostracization, as Dr. Mitchell, I think, to a degree, experienced. But I didn't spend my life in a Himalayan cave. I spent my life in a very, very worldly profession of journalism, quite successful at it. And I felt at this point in my life, had a great career, but an obligation to report some of these things and show through my experiences that unseen worlds are real and get people talking about this rather than hiding it. I've had several comments from people who've read the book and describing some of the amazing events that have happened in their lives that they might not have talked about otherwise. And I certainly couldn't have talked about many of these things when I was working, had my name on the masthead of a newspaper. But that was a while back. I'm retired now, and I'm at that age where, okay, let's start really getting real about who you are, what you experienced, and start sharing some of these things with the world.
That's right. The best of our lives are way ahead of us or in front of us, and I always like to be positive. Kingsley Guy, you can learn so much more at kingsleyguy.com to learn much more about how to get this Amazon bestseller. And that book, again, Piercing the Veil, A Skeptical Journalist Discovers Unseen Worlds, launched just this month, August 6, 2019, and became, and he should be very proud of it, an Amazon number one bestseller. He's also proceeded with another book entitled A Historical Novel, A Spiritual One, Queen of the Heavens, And maybe in a future time on this radio show, we can delve into these topics in greater detail than what the Dr. Sky Show permits us today. In the words of Edgar Mitchell, and I quote, I think Kingsley Guy and I both certainly, and the audience would certainly open their minds and believe this is definitely right on, and I quote, we are stardust, and we are all one in that sense, end of quote. A big thank you to Kingsley Guy, who's been our special guest today here on the Dr. Sky Show, a 10-year legacy with great guests from the realms of astronomy, space, aviation, and weather. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, celebrity guests in the mix, rock and roll bands, very famous people on this radio show who then make the world more complete. Dr. Sky reminds everyone, I'm sure Kingsley would agree, to always remember to keep your eyes to the skies. Kingsley, if you'd be kind enough to stay on the line as we go to the hard break at the bottom of the hour, I do appreciate your time. That's Kingsley.
Okay, and I appreciate your invitation.